Money Sense is brought to you by the Ellenbecker Investment Group, three-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Business Ethics and Integrity. The Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com. Listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We're located in Pewaukee, just east of Highway 164 and Capitol Drive. We're in that great big beautiful town bank building. We're also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building, directly across from Winkies, and everyone knows where that is. And we have the opportunity and the ability to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. My guest today is, it's going to be so much fun. It's Joe Hart, and he is with Dale Carnegie. Actually, he's the president and chief executive officer of the oldest training company in the world. It's over 110 years old. It's in 75 countries, and I had an opportunity to receive this book and offer to do an interview, and I took some time to read the book. I also would recommend that you go to YouTube and listen to his very inspiring talk that he gave. It's really worth the time and the effort. And of course, today is always worth the time and effort to give you an opportunity to see yourself in a different way and maybe find a way that you can spread your wings and do something a little bit different. So, Joe, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Karen. Great to be with you today.
And to talk about your book, Take Command, Find Your Inner Strength, Build Enduring Relationships, and Live the Life You Want. And isn't that what we all would really like? And as I was listening to your interview, you said, I have got such a great life, and I have a great life. And I think that so many of the things that you talk about, we'll talk about today, really landed on me in some cases as, oh, I've been doing that. That's really good. And then in other cases, wow, I should shift my thinking and do it a little bit differently. And so let's take some time today to talk about why you wrote the book. And I think everybody is really interested to better understand the shift of what has happened since the pandemic, since COVID hit. And, you know, one of the things that I hear so often, I know you're going to talk about, is I just wish we'd get through this so that everything can go back the way it was. So I'll let you run with it from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because people still say that. And we look at what we've gone through as a world over the last few years. And certainly it's been unlike anything that we've lived through. I'll give you maybe a short background. You know, I am someone who's been greatly influenced by Dale Carnegie. Growing up, you know, I had amazing parents. My father talked about how to win friends and influence people. He gave me a copy of the book when I was a teenager. My mother had taken actually a Dorothy Carnegie class in 1965. So, I mean, I grew up hearing about Dale Carnegie. And as a young lawyer, I took a Dale Carnegie program, and it completely changed the direction of my career. For people who don't know, Dale Carnegie is a global organization founded by Dale Carnegie in 1912. And a Dale Carnegie course is all about, you know, self-confidence and interpersonal skills, communication skills, leadership, and managing stress and worry. And part of what it challenged me on was my vision for myself. I ultimately decided to leave the practice of law and to start my own company. And it was an e-learning company, and I won't go into all of the details behind it. But the other thing I took away from the Dale Carnegie class, not just was it challenging me around my vision and the courage to kind of leave the practice of law and to start something different, it was really about, and you were talking about this, Karen, before, about empathy. And, I don't think as a young lawyer, I was a particularly empathetic person. I was a pretty hard-edged, maybe a little bit more arrogant than I'd like to admit. And I really started to understand and to gain an appreciation for how to interact with people in a more positive and constructive way. And frankly, the Dale Carnegie principles I learned drove my success, first in business and then start my company. And I was the president of a company for 10 years before I joined Dale Carnegie as the CEO in 2015. So that's just some background. Michael Crum, who's also he's a Dale Carnegie, he was an executive for 30 years. He's Dale Carnegie's grandson. He and I were talking in the midst of the pandemic just about just how rough it was. And I, in chapter one of this book, Karen, I know you've read the book, talk about my experience during COVID. And really it was Dale Carnegie's principles and ideas about the need to take command of our thoughts that kind of flipped for me a way to look at the pandemic entirely in a different way. And it's really propelled the company in a very, very constructive way. Our company has been thriving thanks to the amazing people we have around the world, our franchise owners, our team members all over the world, who've really taken command and done this as well. So Dale Carnegie has had a huge influence on me and on Michael, and we both said, wouldn't it be something if we could build off of the amazing work of Dale Carnegie, how to win friends and influence people, how to stop worrying and start living, and write this in a way that is really for today's readers. You've got stories from people all over the world, diverse stories. It's really geared for, I hope the book can help anyone. It's designed for a really even a younger audience. I mean, people who might be in their 20s or 30s or 40s, who may not know about Dale Carnegie. So although my mother, who's 89, tells me that she loves the book, and I guess I would expect my mother to say that, but I think she really does. So she's found some beneficial things from it too. But that's kind of, we've given, Michael and I have been given a lot around this phenomenal message and insight from Dale Carnegie, and we wanted to pay it forward through this book.
You know, we, Joe, we learned so many things from our parents and so many different ideas in business. And if I haven't heard it once, I've heard, well, the most important thing that you can have when you meet somebody is that they look you right in the eyes and that you look at them and that you have a nice, firm handshake. People can tell a lot by that nice, firm handshake. And I, particularly between being in Florida and being in Milwaukee, I do so much of my work and my charitable work on Zoom and meeting with clients. And even something that is unique for us all around the country is we are making new relationships with clients in many of the different states where mostly it was always right in our backyard because we could look at them in the eye. They'd sit at our table. We'd sit down and talk. We'd have a great handshake. I give a lot of hugs. And it's like, okay, now what? There's no more handshakes. And I guess when I was looking at your information, I thought to myself, that's one of the things that I can change about my thinking process is I can't wait till we can meet in person again and see people. And I realized after listening to you that I am setting the tone that it isn't as good when I think it can be as good with some direction and some training.
No, I mean, you know, the way that you're framing this, Karen, I think is the way so many of us do. When something happens, maybe we don't like what's happened or we see it a different way, we want it a different way. That's life, right? You've got change in life and so forth. And, you know, the first part of this book, Take Command, is about take command of your thoughts and your emotions. And what that really means is it's to be intentional, pay attention to your thoughts and to frame your thoughts. Two people can be in the exact same situation and one person is miserable and down and negative and complaining. The other person is finding opportunity and is thriving and is happy. And the difference is the way we think and in particular, the way that we frame our thoughts. So it's exactly as you said. I mean, just when you kind of had that epiphany, so to speak, you could say, look, I wish that we were in person and I certainly miss the hugs and those kinds of things. And in what way can I use this as an opportunity? I mean, so the fact that we're talking the way that we are right now, I've connected with so many more people than I otherwise would have felt like, we have to travel together and be together. So the reach is broader. I think about our team at Dale Carnegie, and I feel like we've grown closer and more effective as a team. We're a higher performing team today because we've been able to leverage. There are different things that we can't shake hands, but we can still smile. We can still give eye contact. We can still ask questions. We can still listen. We can still appreciate other people. You know, so there are still ways to build connection through Zoom. But if our mindset is, this is never going to work, I don't like this, well, I mean, then that's what we're going to get.
I agree. You talked a little bit about, and I know that in your book, it's 10 ways to compel the career in life that you want. And you just mentioned it, finding your own inner strength, build enduring relationships. How can people do that? I mean, what is the premises for our thinking? And much of what you do talk about is our own resilience and our own attitude is the driving force in our success. And I have a phrase that I have in my shower that I see every day: live by what you trust, not by what you fear.
That's great. That's a great quote. You know, there's another quote that I like, which you've got me thinking about, which is about fear, which is everything we want is on the other side of fear. You know, fear is that thing that will keep us in a comfortable place without taking risks and chances and so forth. And then, you know, we get what we get. But, you know, the first part of this book is so important. It's based on a lot of Dale Carnegie's principles from How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And it really is the idea that we first have to take command of our thoughts and our emotions, because, you know, our happiness, our resilience, as you said, our courage, all of those things depend upon the thoughts that we have and the things that we allow ourselves to think. So, I mean, the first part of this is, do we even pay attention to our thoughts? I mean, how many times do we find ourselves thinking something, you know, I can't do this, this isn't going to work, or this person doesn't like me, or whatever the thought is. But to challenge that thought, to reframe that thought, you know, there's a great story in that first part of the book about a man named Artis Stevens. He's the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. And, you know, he talks about, he was so focused on getting a scholarship to the University of Georgia, he wanted to play football at the University of Georgia. And his thought was, success is football, right? So then he gets injured, catastrophic injury, and he's just down and depressed. But his family, his friends come together and they help him see success isn't just football. Success can be, you know, how I succeed in life, how I show up in life. And he ultimately academically went to the University of Georgia and thrived there. But, you know, it started with reframing that thought. I mean, and we know people who sometimes have a hard time getting beyond that. So the book is filled with ideas and strategies and research and other, you know, stories to really encourage people to show, here's how you reframe your thoughts. Here's how you condition your mind for success. Here's how you develop routines that are going to serve you so that this just becomes automatic, so you get a great mindset. This is how you deal with change. This is how you become resilient and courageous.
You know, Joe, we have another radio show that we do is called Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community. And we interview charities, two charities every Sunday morning. It's kind of a give back to allow charities who really struggle with not having enough financial resources to do marketing. But one of the things that we've discovered is that almost every charity was started by some sort of a difficult situation that has happened. And that's a perfect example of people who take something that is so difficult and they move forward to try and create change and to make things better for other people. It doesn't negate the tragedy or what has happened, but it is a step forward into moving into doing something positive with a difficult situation, a mindset. And I think of all of those people who have done that, and it's just amazing what they've accomplished.
Well, you know, Karen, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, there's tragedy in life. There are difficult things that happen in life. There are, you know, real challenges to overcome. And at the same time, just like you said, you know, those people were able to turn those things. They weren't immobilized. They were able to turn those things into opportunities to help other people. As I know, I mean, you are doing through your show and through other things that you're doing. It's like you're looking for opportunities to help other people. So, you know, sometimes we have a barrier, something comes in the way. If we let that just stop us, then all the good that could come from that, you know, all the success that could come from that, you know, stops. So it really does come down to our ability to you know, build what our determination and our courage and our conviction and push forward and to find a way and to use that mindset that says, where's the opportunity here?
You know, we got to take a break because we're over our time. However,
sorry.
I'm in control of time here for at least these 44 minutes. And I'm just going to end with another thought, and I'd like to pick it up when we come back. I think the most important thing that people can really learn to do too is to hit that pause button. Because when we're in a difficult situation or we're afraid or we don't have that confidence that we need in order to move forward through something, we have to stop our brain. We have to stop and we have to pause and we have to listen to our heart and we have to give ourselves space to hear that voice, whatever it is, to move forward. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. My guest today is author and CEO of Dale Carnegie. He wrote with Michael Crum a great book, Take Command, Find Your Inner Strength, Build Enduring Relationships, and Live the Life You Want. And it is written in a way that you can really hear what he has to say. And with that, we will be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you would like to put a face with a voice, you can go to ellenbecker.com. And also, if you are loving this show, which I think is absolutely fantastic, then you can also forward the show to your friends and to your kids. And I would say that we've got a couple things coming up. We got Valentine's Day coming up. We've got Easter and birthdays. And if you're really looking for a special gift, I think this book is fabulous. And you can get it at all the local bookstores. You can go to their website and Joe can give you that information. But it really is a wonderful gift. And I think it's fabulous. We've got all these graduations coming up this year. Just think about wrapping up that gift and giving it to your grandchild or your child so that they just have a little bit of a head start. And I really do look at it as a head start, understanding how to take charge of your own life instead of one of my favorite sayings is the grass is greener where you water it, not across the street. And so helping your kids to understand that the grass is greener where they water it is really powerful. So Joe, we ended up our last segment on the pause button. What do you think of that?
On the pause button, remind me.
To pause, people need to pause in order to
pause button,
to calm their voice down and their fears down, and to really get in alignment with what you're saying is that you've got to be resilient. You got to kind of ask yourself, you know, where am I? What is my attitude? You have to, in order to determine that you're in chronic distress or you're struggling, I think that you really have to hit that pause button and determine. I often look at it with my clients when they come in. I always say it's like going to a shopping mall for the first time. You walk up to the directory and it says, you are here.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, so what happens sometimes is we don't pause. We can find ourselves into kind of this emotional place pretty quickly. I mean, you know, say you get an email and the email just isn't what we want it to be, or we are on social media. I mean, I could get pretty upset going through my daily Twitter file feed if I wanted to. But I mean, it is to just time out and to say, all right, what are the thoughts? What are the assumptions? What are the things that I'm saying? And to go backward and to say, you know, is this thought, is it serving me? And is it even accurate? Sometimes do I have all the facts? You know, there's a story I talk about in the first chapter of the book. There's a friend of mine whose name is Emma, and she came over one day and she was just complaining about someone she was working with and explaining this whole situation. And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't sound like a person who's trying to hurt you or undermine you. This sounds like a person who's trying to help you, you know, but she was so emotional about it. And once we started to talk it through, she said, you know what? I actually think maybe she was trying to help me. But to your point, Karen, you know, for us to take a step back from our thoughts, our emotions, and to ask, you know, what am I thinking and why am I thinking this? Is this serving me? and how should I be seeing this? And how can I use this constructively? One other idea that we talk about in the book is to use negative thoughts as an early warning system. You know, we have a car and the oil light might blink and we don't like it when it blinks, but it tells us, you know, I better do something here. And if I find myself with a series of negative thoughts, it's like, time out. Where is this going to take me? And is this where I want to go? Is this going to serve me? Is it constructive? So to your point, taking that pause is a really critical part in taking command of our thoughts and emotions.
You know, I once heard a phrase that someone told me that what really bothers you in someone else is something that you do to other people, seeing yourself within what's going on. And I love what you talked about your friend who was so upset. You know what the first thing that came to my mind is to understand it is when we see the big picture with our children, but they can't hear us. And I thought of that, you know, we're trying to help our children and they think that we're criticizing or doing something. They don't realize that what we're really trying to do is give them a different perspective. And that's what you were doing for your friend. And you talk about the importance of having friends. And I think that that is something else that's critical, is making friends and maintaining friendships so that you have someone like you, Joe, that your friend can go and express her frustration, and you have the ability to unwind some of it for her so she could see it through a different lens. But you also have to be willing to hear.
For sure. I mean, that goes back to your point about pausing and being introspective and reflective. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear, we can be defensive. You know, and we have a whole chapter on, I mean, this is not criticism, but on receiving and giving criticism, and also in dealing with difficult people. So, but, you know, we need people in our lives. I mean, if we think about the quality of our lives, so much of that depends on the quality of our relationships. And if we've got good connections with people, you and I were talking about trust. If we've got trust with people, if we build that foundation, you know, then, you know, we can give and receive feedback because we have that underlying foundation of trust. But so much of part two of this book, which is Take Command of Your Relationships, is built on just Dale Carnegie's brilliant ideas in how to win friends and influence people. And what we've done is we've taken that to the next level with today's readers and stories and situations that people can relate to. It's based on those principles, though, and really, once we take command of ourselves, then we can think about how do we take command of those relationships? How do we form meaningful, enduring, high-quality relationships, whether it's at work, whether I'm working with people, or whether it's in my family or friends or in my community?
I just saw a quote this morning, and it said, "The world around you is only beautiful when you are at peace with the world within you."
That's beautiful.
And it's so true. You know, one of the things that I just want to bring up that I'm hearing, and you and I had an opportunity to talk a little bit earlier about a charity that I'm involved with, Connect, Nourish, and Grow, that's dealing with school systems. And I had mentioned to you that all the principles in your book were really, it felt as if you were talking to some of the issues that I'm dealing with the school systems. And then you had the conversation with your friend. And what I want to say about this book is that it's been written almost as a business guide and some of the classes and things that you host. But this is a guide in living your life, whether you're a parent, whether we're talking about a school system, whether we're talking about Ellen Becker Investment Group. This is a way for an individual to choose. And I say that because a friend of mine, Dan Burris, I was telling him exactly, talking like your friend was to you. And I was saying, I'm having so much trouble getting my employees to be exceptional. I tell them, I want them to be exceptional. And he looked at me and he said, "Karen, you can't tell someone to be an exceptional. They have to choose to be exceptional." And it's those times when somebody gives you insight into something that can literally change your life. And I think that that's what happens with your book. It has an opportunity to touch everyone in a way unique to themselves. And so it's not a business book, which I think a lot of people think about. It's a book on living life.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. What you've described is exactly our goal. I mean, I think about a Dale Carnegie class, for example. You know, it's not a lecture. It's you hear other people and you see what someone else is doing. And we know that adults want to be inspired to do something. They want to be told to do something. And we've tried to write this book with lots of stories and kind of proven ideas. So my hope would be that just like when you read it, you said, gosh, this connects with me, you know, and if you gave it to your employees or if you gave it to people, that they would read this and say, I get this, you know. So this is the kind of thing we're trying to do with this book, is to inspire people to, you know, think about their mindset. What kind of a mindset do you want to have a stronger mindset to develop healthy relationships and to think about their future, the life that they want to have. So, you know, Michael and I said in the preface of this book that if people read it and they say, well, it was a good book, I liked the book, give it 5 stars, that's fine. But if it doesn't lead people to change, then we feel like we failed. I mean, our goal is really to give someone a manual or a blueprint that inspires them to live, you know, a healthier, more meaningful life, no matter where they are. I mean, someone might be confident right now. And, you know, we're humans. We are limited in different areas. So how do I improve? How do I get better? How do I kind of just get that one angle that makes me just even sharper?
I think, and we're going to take a quick break in just a minute, but I think it's also a strategy that it's a tool in a toolbox that people need to have, because life is kind of like a roller coaster and it goes up and it goes down and up and down, and nobody jumps off of a roller coaster when it's moving. So you need the tools to hang in there and to recognize that this too will pass. And I want to talk about after our next break about this whole concept of, I think that we're living in a world of what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? And there's so much fear because there's been the crazy market, there's been the pandemic, there's been these interest rates that are changing. There's so many jobs, so many things are going on in this world that I love a portion of what you said in your book is that just ask yourself, what's the worst case scenario? And if you can do that, you're really giving yourself that idea of, I can handle anything. But if you live in the world of what ifs, you're almost telling yourself, I can't handle it. And with that, we'll take a break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Joe Hart. He is a co-author on the book, Take Command, Find Your Inner Strength, Build Enduring Relationships, and Live the Life That You Want. And in our prior segment, we were talking about how this book is not just for people who are in business. It's really for everybody, to help them to change their life and to take command. And one of the things that I talked about is that people get so stuck in the things that are happening in their lives that they really don't get an opportunity, or they don't know how to take an opportunity to pause and to move through some of the stuff so that they can create an opportunity for themselves to excel. And it's just a great gift. If you're looking for a graduation gift, if you're looking for a birthday gift, Father's Day is coming. I mean, there's so many things that will give you an opportunity to really share this book with the people that you know have their ups and downs. And it's really hard when something happens to really think about, how can I see myself in a different way? How can I stop, take a breath, and move forward? And Joe, you've got so many great ideas in your book. And, you know, one of the things that you had were a few tips: don't criticize or complain, that self-criticalness that we do to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we can easily be our own worst critics. You know, the way we talk to ourselves is the way we would never talk to somebody else. One of the suggestions that we have is that people start to pay attention to the things that they say to themselves and the words that they use, because, you know, I mean, it's not uncommon for someone to say, gosh, I'm such a loser, I'm so stupid, or whatnot. It's like, but, you know, if you commit right now to say, you know, I am not going to talk to myself any differently than I would for someone I love. You know, you've got your granddaughter who's connected to your business. You'd never talk to her that way, right? So if you say to yourself, I'm going to talk to myself the way I would talk to someone I love, like my granddaughter, or if I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to talk to myself the way I talk to one of my kids, which is out of love, then I'm going to be kinder to myself and I'm going to reinforce kind of those positive thought patterns.
When you also talk about what I think I read, I remember reading something that about people that try to do too much at one time, and you talk about putting things in like a compartment and just sort of dealing with one thing at a time rather than getting so overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's easy for us, especially when we think about emotional, kind of our emotional life, to get overwhelmed. We start to think about all these different things, and you know, really, we can only do one thing at a time. And we encourage people really to think about that, and to give yourself the space to do something and to do it well. Often, what happens is people start to worry, and they'll think about all the different things that can go wrong, or all the different things that are going wrong. You know, by the way, one of the things that we encourage people to do, this comes from Dale Carnegie, and you kind of had talked about this a little bit right before the break, was, you know, you ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen?
Yes.
You know, what's the worst that can happen? It's Dale Carnegie had said, you ask this question, and then you start to work back, because most of the time, the things we worry about never happen. So, but once we come to that level of acceptance, then that goes to what you were saying earlier about the pause. We give ourselves the ability to pause by getting ourselves out of this just emotional funnel that's just taking us down. We realize that things are not going to be as bad as we think. Even if they are, we can build back from those things. So then we can focus on them kind of methodically, one at a time, and ultimately lead to a better conclusion.
You know, that's so funny, because we were talking at the end of the break about being a society of what ifs, what if, what if, what if, what if. And the vision that came to me was a story that someone told me once about a man who fell into a pit and he couldn't get out and he couldn't get out. But if he'd have only taken the dirt from the side of the pit and started, he could have, building himself a platform higher and higher, he could have climbed out.
Right.
And it's almost like, with what you're talking about, what if, and it's like, what if this happens? What if that happens? But if you, what's the worst case scenario? You can almost always find a solution, even if it's to not do it anymore. If it's to stop, there is a solution. Once we get to that place in our lives that we know that we can actually do something and we have the power within us to make a really good decision.
Well, and that's an important starting point, even just to recognize that we do have the power. That's what, I mean, taking command is all about being intentional and recognizing, you know, we're capable of so many more things than we think. And this is one of the observations, again, that Dale Carnegie had, which is that we're using a small percentage of our capabilities. The things that hold us back are thoughts that undermine us. So when we can start to shape our thoughts in a constructive way, when we can start to condition ourselves to have mindsets, then all of a sudden we really set ourselves up for success in the future.
One of the things that you said is grow through this crisis, not get through.
Right.
I really like that. And that's grow through any crisis.
That's really true. I mean, you know, we think about all that we just went through with COVID, or it could be anything. And we'd say, gosh, I'm just going to, in fact, one of our most successful franchise operations, they had the philosophy, we're not going to get through this, we're going to grow through this. And they started to see things and see opportunities. One of the things our research tells us, we've done research in 20 countries about resilience, and people who are positive and have a belief in themselves, have a level of confidence, are more likely to get better results because they expect better results. So when you say to yourself, I'm not going to go through this, I'm going to grow through this, it's like then immediately the mind is saying, what do I need to do to grow in this? How do I, you know, so we spark that thought and then we can start to move in a more positive direction.
One of the funniest things happened to me recently, and I was thinking about this whole concept of you are what you think. And I was golfing and I saw sand and I saw water and it was a competition and I'm not very good. And I thought, oh my God, this team. And if I go in the sand again. And I got up there and I thought, you know, don't go in the sand, don't go in the sand. And of course, where do you think I went? In the sand. Because our brains really only hear sand, doesn't hear the go, don't go there. And I think of that as just a very funny story, but it's really true for our life, is that we kind of end up going where our thoughts are.
We do. And our minds are a mystery, and the way that we're at work, we don't exactly know, but it does seem like, you know, when we use words and thoughts, and then, you know, we kind of move in that direction, whether it's for better or for worse. There's a quote, and it's an old quote from Henry Ford that talks about, you know, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. You know, so the kind of thoughts that we set for ourselves, the direction we set for ourselves, is the direction we start to go through. And again, people who have a belief in themselves or have a belief that things are going to work out are more likely, again, this is not rosy colored glasses or anything like that, but it is to say that when our minds are open to what's possible, then we're a lot more likely to find things that we might not have otherwise have expected.
One of the things that I'd like, we don't really have all that much time left. We've got two breaks, and we're going to take our third break in just a minute or so that we can have a nice period to talk about, I think, a very important word, and you've touched on it, how important trust is. And I want to just say that one of your statistics was 37% of customers say that they trust their advisor, they trust their clients, or they trust the person that they're working with. And you have some statistics that say, I believe it was 76% of people will refer people to someone that they trust, and 71% of people will take trust over the cost of a product. And I think that those are really powerful statistics. And it is true in my business. And we're so proud of the fact that the majority of our new business comes from referrals from our clients and internally from our employees. And that is something that I really feel I'm very proud of. And I know that I personally go to places with people that I trust and people that I feel that I have a connection to. Even as far as the grocery store, I love to look at who the baggers are, and I love to be able to talk to them and to say hi. And if somebody is there bagging with a big smile on their face, that's the line I go to. It always is true. And with that, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I am the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. This is a great show, one that is really worth passing on to people that you know and that you feel would benefit from it. And you go to ellenbecker.com to do that. My guest today is author and of Take Command, Find Your Inner Strength, Build Enduring Relationships, and Live the Life You Want by Joe Hart. And he is also the CEO of the Dale Carnegie, which is one of the oldest training companies in the world. It's over 110 years old, and it is truly global. And so, Joe, you've got, you know, a few minutes left. Would you just share those last remaining thoughts that you have with my listeners?
Well, you know, you had asked right before the break about trust, and especially in your business, but probably in all of our businesses. I mean, you're a trusted advisor. And, you know, trust is the foundation of every relationship. When we have trust, people will listen. They know that we care. We have their interests in mind. And when there is no trust, I mean, it's almost impossible to have a good relationship. So, you know, part of what we talk about in the book are ways that we can build trust. And, you know, some of those ways just are even how we interact with people. You know, do we listen to people? Do we appreciate people? Do we respect people? Or, you know, are we someone, you know, Dale Carnegie had a quote, you can make more friends I'm going to butcher the quote. You can make more friends in 2 months of talking to people and asking about them than you can in 2 years of trying to tell them about yourself.
Yes.
So trust starts with having an interest in other people.
Curiosity.
It's that you care about other people, that you respect other people. So you speak in a way that they, and you and I were talking about psychological safety. Is there psychological safety? What's the culture of a workplace? you know, do people feel like they can speak up, or do they feel like if they speak up, they're going to get in trouble, or just keep doing what you're doing, your work, keep your head down, you know? So, you know, the book talks a lot about building enduring relationships, and trust is certainly an important part of it. We also talk about dealing with difficult people. And sometimes we are the difficult people. We don't like to admit that, but we're the difficult people. But, you know, do we have boundaries for other people? Do we know how to interact with, or how to handle a situation where we feel like our boundaries are being crossed? Do we communicate those? And, or do we have situations that, you know, maybe are toxic and that we need just to end the relationship? But, you know, it was an honor to be able to write this book. When I think about Dale Carnegie and all that I've received, and how it's helped me be a better leader. And I'd say a better father, a better husband. I have 6 children. I've got an amazing wife. We celebrate 26 years of marriage next week. And, you know, I try to practice these principles. And we've tried to build those into Take Command so that people can get these in a very easy way, with lots of stories, diverse people from all over the world. People who are successful, people who are everyday people, you know, just so I'm hopeful that this book will inspire people to positive change in their lives.
You know, Joe, one of the things you said just a minute or so ago is about boundaries. And I think it's a misconception. Boundaries are really to keep people in, not to put them out. And people think of the word as boundaries. It's like if I talk to clients about about their money and being on a budget, they cringe. But if I say to them, let's talk about cash flow, they go, oh, now that, cash flow, I get that. Same thing in a way, but different. And people think about boundaries as keeping others out, but it's really about keeping people in. And setting boundaries is so important, and knowing how to have a conversation that keeps you connected rather than a disconnect, and to also being able to not only hold yourself accountable, but in a very gracious way, be able to hold others accountable. And that all falls into that area of setting really good boundaries.
It really is important, first of all, to set them and also to communicate them. And you're right. If we do that, then that can empower a relationship. It's not just about kind of putting your arm out and saying, you can't cross this line. It is about, hey, what's the best way to interact with me or engage me or whatnot? And, you know, so it all depends on how people look at it.
So, Joe, tell my listeners how they can get more of this great information from you and from your company. And one of the things we talked about during the break, which I'm so excited about learning more myself, is that you hold different types of classes for children, different ethnicities, different high schools or colleges, and you're looking at doing some really fun things with your company and your book and on-demand videos. And this is the type of information that is so much more than food for thought. It's food for action. It creates some boundaries for yourself. It gives you the opportunity to bridge some of those gaps that you've had that you couldn't get beyond in order to create what you call live the life you want.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. You know, there's a number of different ways that people can learn more. Certainly DaleCarnegie.com. We have Dale Carnegie programs and courses all over the country. So certainly right in Milwaukee, also in Florida. I think you also broadcast in Florida or have an office there, but all over the country. And so that's one option. Another option is you can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon. You can get the book today. It should be in stock, or certainly if you can order on Amazon, they'll maybe even have it shipped the same day or tomorrow morning. Audible, it's also available on Audible. A lot of people have told me they really like to listen to the book. Kindle as well, you can buy an ebook. But, you can go to takecommand.com. And also there's a whole range of things. We've got a Take Command podcast where I host, CEOs and other executives and people and talk about high integrity leadership. So a lot of different resources that are out there for people. Even on the Dale Carnegie website, we've got white papers. You were referring to some of the quotes that you had about trust came from the free white papers that we have, the research that we conduct all over the country. But it could be one other thing too, you mentioned, I know at the break, many people may want to give this book out. Many companies might want to give it to their employees. The books are available on a bulk basis. And so if you go to takeaman.com, you can get some information about how to order on bulk as well.
We have done several books with our company, and we've got to cut the interview because we could talk forever. But one of the things that I found that worked really well, if we do that, is that we hold a discussion after, and we've done Good to Great, we've done Why, we've done many, and having these books and having a leadership in each team to bring ideas back has been absolutely incredible. And as I told you during the break, I absolutely intend on ordering books for our company, because I think not only is it an opportunity to grow, but it's just like we get closer. Every time we do something like this as a team, we get closer, we understand each other better, and we truly become a family that works together for the greater good of not only our employees, but for our clients. My guest today is Joe Hart. He wrote a great book, Take Command, Find Your Inner Strength, Build Enduring Relationships, and Live the Life That You Want. And as always, Joe, thank you for being my guest. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a really great weekend. Bye.